It's really been wonderful seeing so many old friends over the last few weekends, and also some new friends, too. I'm glad to see everybody here today. When I went in to pick up the bulletin on Thursday, I was talking with a little bit about Camille because I knew she came in as our church secretary just about when I moved on to Bellport. And I said, "How long have you been here?" And she said, "I guess I've been here about 7 years." And that seems like a long time to me. And in my life, a great deal has happened during these past 7 years. Most of it good, some of it challenging, but almost all of it an ongoing adventure where, depending how stubborn I'm being at the moment, God tries to lead me wherever God wants me at that time. And I was delighted when I saw today's lectionary gospel reading. You see, I've been trying to figure out my place in the world all my life. When I came back east from Colorado in 2007, where I had made a staggering mess of my life and most of the people in it, I couldn't see where I had a place at all. That first year back in Connecticut was spiritually bleak. And yet God had to allow me to find a bottom deep enough so that I could become teachable. God's grace is amazing. Another reason I was delighted when I saw today's scripture reading was that, as parables go, it's pretty straightforward. Or so I thought at first. One of the best joys I have when I prepare for a service is spending time in God's Word, going deeper than I might in my prayer time when I have the cares of the day and the worries of the world on my mind. Asking God not for wisdom, but rather simple enlightenment in that moment. For me, it's one of the great gifts of being a lay servant, or of being a Christian, for that matter, opening my heart enough to receive the Word of God. Each time is a gift, and each time is an adventure. And as I spent time in our gospel reading, out in the backyard, under a maple tree with the sun shining, I'd like to share several of the things that jumped out at me. Verse 14:7 says, "When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he, Jesus, told them a parable." I imagine most people want seats close to the stage for a concert, close to the field for a football game, close to the pulpit for a Sunday service. Well, maybe not. And in this case, seats close to the bride and groom for a wedding banquet. Sometimes we get our choices, often we don't. In so many ways, our time on this earth is spent in a zero-sum game. For someone to win, someone else has to lose. For someone to get an A on a bell curve, someone else has to get a D or an F, and so on. And very often, when we choose our own place, we end up feeling either more than or less than. That's another sermon entirely. Jesus also talks about the disgrace of being sent down the table and the honor of being sent up. I suspect that most of us have heard verse 14:11 a number of times in our Christian lives. "For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." Jesus was and is fully human and fully God. He put this parable in human terms and appealed to our own human logic and emotions. That imagery of the better your place at the table, the better the value of your life is very strong here. But while my view of my proper place at the table is probably skewed, Jesus' view is not. As I pondered all this, I suddenly had a vision of a different table, a massive table. Picture, if you will, a huge table, perfectly round, perfectly level, with a big spot hollowed out, carved out in the middle. Kind of like the Knights of the Round Table, I suppose. I thought about this big round level table with our king on the center of that throne. And I realized suddenly there are no places of honor or disgrace at that table, that it is by God's grace and mercy that we can simply be at that table. And then I pondered the last three lines of today's scripture, verses 12 through 14. And there's some spots in the gospel where I often think of Jesus, if not having an outright sense of humor and laughing, at least smiling. One of them is the passage where Zacchaeus is up in the tree, and Jesus says, "Come down, Zacchaeus, for I'm going to sup at your house tonight." And this is another one. He's telling his disciples this parable, and all of a sudden he's crooking his finger at the Pharisee. "I want to tell you something too." Verses 12 through 14 say, "He said also to the one who had invited him, 'When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid.'" There's that zero-sum game I mentioned about. "But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." If the parable was about what's my place, then maybe these last verses could be called, "What's my motive?" Or in some cases, in my case at least, "What's my comfort zone?" Have you ever gone to talk about the love of Jesus to someone and all of a sudden you froze up because you didn't want people to think that they're going to think I'm a nut? I have a comfort zone. It's scary sometimes. Several verses in today's lectionary reading from Hebrews spring to mind for me. Verse 13:2 in Hebrews says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that some have entertained angels without knowing it." Have you ever entertained an angel? I have, although it usually takes some serious God time to understand what just happened. Ask me about one of those moments sometime. Verse 13:3 says in Hebrews, "Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Remember those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured." Taking any kind of a ministry into jails and prisons, and I've done it a number of times, carries a very special blessing. And in my experience, the Holy Spirit has been there right with me every single time. I've had God moments in the middle of a prison chapel, sitting with a bunch of people that could break me like a bad habit. And torture can take many forms, and it's not always physical. What a gift it is when we can empathize with another human being and share our hearts. And verse 13:16 says, "Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God." I don't have much to share on the material level, but I can still do my best to honor the two great commandments, to love God and to love my fellows. If I can do that, then I know what my place is. One of my favorite spirituals is Balm in Gilead. In one version, the second verse goes, "If you cannot sing like angels, if you cannot preach like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus and say he died for all." I'm not an angel, and I ain't Paul. But maybe my place in this world is to tell the love of Jesus. Or maybe even better, to live the love of Jesus. No one really knows who first said the following quote. Some ascribe it to Francis of Assisi, but I first heard it about 10 years ago. "Preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary." It's not about being smooth and eloquent. It's about opening the door. It's about walking the talk so that the Holy Spirit can do God's work here on earth. And regarding that last point, I want to tell you about a neat little movie from 2015 called War Room. It's about a Christian family who's fighting, and they're not in prayer. There's a quote in it that I go to a lot, usually when I've forgotten what my place really is in God's plan. The quote is, "You got to plead with God so that he can do what only he can do. Then you got to get out of the way and let him do it." Part of knowing my place is knowing what I can do, what I can't do, and what God can do. So after all this, what is my place anyway? Where's my seat at the table? Which table? Here's a hint. My place isn't a location at all, nor is it a mindset. It's a heart set. There's a word I haven't used yet today, a word that Jesus uses over and over in the Gospels, a word that can give both my place and my motives a proper perspective. This word isn't mentioned in today's Gospel reading at all. And yet its spirit pervades so much of what Jesus says in your red letter version. It's a word that might even seem demeaning until we remember that Jesus washed his disciples' feet just before the crucifixion. That word is servant. Paul refers to himself as a servant of Christ in the epistles. He says it in humility and in great love of Jesus Christ. As a Pharisee and as a rising star at that, he probably had servants of his own. If you think about today's parable, no matter where you end up sitting at the banquet table, there are servants who will attend to your needs. But I firmly believe that the best way to live in those two great commandments, even given that I am a flawed, sinful human being, is to strive for a servant's heart. To serve others is to serve God. To serve God is to serve others. And that service involves giving whatever we can, whenever we can, of our time, talents, and treasures. I'm sure you've heard that phrase before. We don't have to measure up to a magic pie chart with how much of each we're supposed to sacrifice either. Nor do we have some kind of a quota to meet. We just have to be ready and willing to offer ourselves in service. Sometimes the smallest gift can have inestimable value. And I'm going to wrap this up with this. I mentioned at the beginning of my message about a shambles I had made of my life out west. I got back to Connecticut in mid-February 2007. For the next 7 months, I was without hope, and I was spiraling into yet a new blackness, a new depth, and it was apparently a bottomless pit. In September 2007, I walked into a room full of people. I walked into this room, and I was desperate. I was asking God for help, and none was forthcoming. So I walked into this room. There were 50 or 60 people in it. And somehow I forced a smile. And I'll never forget this as long as I did. A fellow made his room straight across the room in a beeline toward me. He told me his name was Dwight. I found out later he was about my age, and he was ex-Special Forces. He made a beeline across the room. He smiled. He shook my hand. He hugged me. He said, "Welcome." And he meant it. And for probably the first time in my life, I felt like I belonged somewhere. In that moment, Dwight gave of his time, his talents, and his treasures. In that moment, even if he didn't realize it, Dwight was serving God and honoring those two great commandments. And in that moment, through that simple act of love, Dwight allowed the Holy Spirit to take over, not only saving my life, but changing the very trajectory of my life. These last years since 2007, I'm getting older and life is getting better every day. So what's my place? What's our place? What's our purpose? Where's our salvation? It's right there in our thought for the day, brothers and sisters. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Amen.